as promised, the sheriff of Frederick County, Honorable Chuck Jenkins. Sheriff, thank you for taking time. I know I've been trying to get you on this schedule for so long because of what's going on in Annapolis and everywhere else. So I appreciate you finding time for us today. So
it's good to finally be here, Tim. It's been a long haul over the summer into the fall, and now we're coming out here and into the winter, and a lot of problems going on out there, a lot of things.
I've heard that. I don't know how much that, that you can share with us, but we certainly have some questions. And the first question to the sheriff is Annapolis has decided that they can help you. They're going to, they formed this committee. I don't know if you knew it or not, and I know you knew it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bipartisan committee. It was a Democrat-held committee that was going to suggest police reforms.
It was a work group in the House of Representatives all about reform of law enforcement, made up of primarily Democrats, pretty left-leaning Democrats, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Pretty much anti-police, for the exception of maybe four Republicans.
Hmm. Tell me more. What's wrong with the police department? I didn't know we had to. Apparently, it depends if you listen to national news or if you believe it. Everything in the world's wrong with policing. I don't understand what's wrong with you all.
Well, let's go back to the summer, right after the George Floyd incident. I think it was on May 25th, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so right after that, you started to hear all this protest against police, this call for reform, that this total, what I think every elected official at every level of government jumped on board this with a knee-jerk reaction.
Certainly.
Let's reform police, let's reform police. So now here we are several months later where we have the legislature in Maryland looking at a number of different things that I think are going to really harm law enforcement and policing going forward. Again, you know, you have lawmakers who actually don't listen to law enforcement professionals, people who really don't know much about law enforcement or what our role is, going to Annapolis and deciding what is best for us and what is best for society. I don't think there needs to be this massive overhaul and reform. It's just not necessary. Agencies are very progressive, professional. I look at us as the sheriff's office and even the Frederick City Police and local law enforcement. We do a tremendous job, I think, of policing in Frederick County. This county is well policed. We have the respect of the public.
I agree.
And overall, and I think we're being pulled in and looked at through the same lens as, let's say, a Chicago Police Department, New York Police, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And I've said this, and I will say it publicly. I said it at a meeting last week with the council, and I basically laid down and said, very straightforward, I do not believe there is systemic racism in policing. I don't buy into the narrative. Can there be changes? We can always look for improvements, and we constantly do. We always look to improve. But is there a need for this overhaul? I don't think so, because people don't understand the roles and what we do in law enforcement.
Well, I think that's a good way to start. I think there's a lot of questions that we'll have. But
Can we start digging into some of the particulars what you're talking about?
Yeah, sure, right. Sure.
And tell us what you know about them and what you think of them.
Here come the particulars. Go ahead.
Do you want to talk to the bigger issues or specifically what we're looking at here in Maryland? Because I tell you, Frank, this is such a broad topic and addresses it from so many directions. So let's go back and talk about back in the summer, right after when the protests started. The big questions that were shouted out, that we were alleged to do, chokeholds. The Frederick County Sheriff's Office does not train as has never used chokeholds, okay? We have not militarized our department. We don't shoot at moving vehicles. We train our people in de-escalation practices. We conduct anti-bias and profiling training. We've been doing all these things for years. We're being looked at in the same lens or through the same lens as every other agency in the country. That's what I think is really unfair. Maybe there are agencies who need to reform and need to improve their policies and training. And again, can we always improve? Sure, we can. But I think we are as progressive and ahead of the game as anybody.
That Maryland and Frederick County is ahead.
I think we are.
Places.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's talk about some of these particulars. Chokeholds. It's not done or practiced in Frederick County, what's wrong with passing a law that just bans them?
There's no problem. I'm not worried about things like that specifically. It's the broader issues. It's the broader things. Let me just go down some of them. So requiring every officer to sign a sanctity of life pledge. What does that really mean? I have no problem with it.
I'm not sure what that is.
Exactly.
Nobody is sure what that means.
That basically says that I, as an individual, as a human being, as a police officer, and again, the devil's in the details, but I believe in the sanctity and importance of a life. We all do.
Well, certainly.
What does it prove? Exactly. What's it do for you?
Right. Unless you approve of abortion. Yeah. We're going to take a very short break. Come right back to you. It's about 4:19 in the afternoon, talking to you, listening to you, and bringing it to you from Charlestown, West Virginia. Be right back.
The county executive and the county council at their Board of Health meeting. In both instances, here's what they said. We need the federal government to get their act together and produce the next major round of CARES funding stimulus. Here, my fear is, if we do get to that point, it's going to be too little too late. It won't be enough to save a case to die for.
What you hear about in the morning, you'll be talking about all day on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD.
GAC Services once again asks the eternal question, what's older than your furnace? Is it older than a typewriter, turn dial TV, payphone, floppy disk, Polaroid, record player, Atari, jelly shoes, a transistor radio? If your furnace is more than 10 years old, you could have what it takes to win a brand new furnace. Visit gacservices.com/oldestfurnacecontest to enter, or click on the contest tab at WFMD.com.
The tradition continues at the 37th Annual Maryland Christmas Show, an award-winning arts and crafts event, bringing together many top artists and craftsmen to make your holiday shopping an enjoyable experience at the Frederick County Fairgrounds. It's a two-weekend event beginning this Friday. Hours are 10 to 6 Fridays and Saturdays, and 10 to 5 on Sundays. The Maryland Christmas Show, 7 buildings full of Christmas. Make it your tradition. Come enjoy the Maryland Christmas Show starting this Friday each weekend through November 29th. Visit online at MarylandChristmasShow.com, practicing CDC and Maryland state standards for a safe event.
930 WFMD traffic. A service of Colonial Jewelers in downtown Frederick.
A couple of accidents. One in Gaithersburg on Clopper Road. That's backing up traffic if you're trying to get onto 270. 270 northbound is still looking pretty congested, mainly around Clarksburg and around Urbana, and getting into Frederick and all that's heading northbound, pretty congested. We've still got that accident, it looks like, on 340 near Harper's Ferry, but it doesn't seem to be holding up traffic at the time, so not too much to worry about there. And traffic otherwise looking pretty good on 70 and 15 in Frederick. That's a look at your WFMD traffic, a service of Frederick Air and Bryant. Whatever it takes to keep you comfortable, Frederick Air, it's a good call.
Hi, this is Sarah from Colonial Jewelers. My family is proud to be the area's most trusted jeweler for the past 70 years. Why buy your ring from Colonial? We offer a free lifetime warranty on new engagement rings. Selecting your jeweler is as important as picking the diamond. Choose Colonial Jewelers. The Colonial Jewelers box, there's just more in it.
Hey, it's Bob Miller
and Ryan Hedrick.
Join us for the new Morning News Express
at 5 a.m.
Monday through Friday,
right here on 930 WFMD.
I like it. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome in. This is who we have. The sheriff of Frederick County is answering any questions. We'll open the phone lines up a little bit later, but we're going to try to go through the information first and then bring you in. So just calm down. Take a chill pill. We'll be all right. Sheriff, you were talking about some of the proposals that may be coming forward from the committee in Annapolis or wherever they're from.
Yeah. So right now there are three large bills in the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, and I think what they're going to do is roll them all together to what they call an omnibus bill. All. So it means basically all-inclusive, I guess. Mm-hmm. So some of the other things they talk about are barring the use of military-grade equipment by police departments.
Wrong.
You know what? What are we talking about?
Yeah,
So listen, everybody criticizes our Bearcat. Our Bearcat is a piece of protective equipment. It is not an offensive weapon. It's not a tank. It's not a personnel carrier. Which it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's no M60s on it. There's no offensive firepower. It's strictly a defensive piece of protective piece of equipment.
That's good.
Now, that's great that we can afford it, but for the smaller departments that can't afford that, why can't they acquire the use of surplus military Humvees, things like that?
Exactly.
So I think that's a little extreme, but that probably will pass. Body camera.
Your Bearcat does
it. No, not at all. Ours is specific to law enforcement.
Okay.
So we're talking about also eliminating, either repealing or replacing Leobor, Law Enforcement Officer Bill of Rights.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. Yeah. That's huge because that is a due process. It's not a law against discipline or criminal behavior. It's simply a due process for a sworn police officer. It's important.
It's needed.
It's needed. Absolutely needed. It has no effect on anything else other than how we investigate internal complaints, the fact that we can compel an officer to make a statement, right, and the fact that it's a completely different due process than a criminal process.
I was a cop before it and after it, and it makes a big difference.
It does.
You feel like you have someone that has your back.
You do. You do. And again, it doesn't interfere. It does not interfere with an internal investigation.
But what do you say, those who say it does, because it scrubs the records of complaints after a certain period of time, and it ensures officers and not civilians handle the complaints?
But I don't believe civilians should handle complaints, Frank. Listen, every police chief and every sheriff, I believe this with all my heart, they want to keep their agencies clean.
Without question.
Everybody wants to clean their own house, okay? But that protection needs, it's not even a protection, it's a due process needs to be there. And the decisions on disciplinary actions cannot be taken away from a chief or sheriff. They're very important. But what this bill proposes overall is to take some of that decision-making away from the executives and give them to civilian boards and oversight boards and require or allow civilians to be a part of these hearing boards. That's going down a real dangerous road. I really believe that.
How many times have you been asked to sit on the disciplinary board for a malpractice with a doctor?
Never.
Well, you won't.
Exactly. Listen, as much as people don't want to believe this, we in the sheriff's office and law enforcement in general keeps their houses clean. And they want to keep their houses clean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ban the use of no-knock warrants. Again.
That's another big one.
That's a big one. But think about this. Very, very few times do we apply for and get a no-knock warrant. Some situations are absolutely critical. So what we have is in our agency is a matrix, which our commanders look at the risk. They do a risk assessment of the warrant, of the entry, of the circumstances for the warrant. Is the individual armed? Are there firearms involved? Does this person have a history of violent crime? And we have a matrix, a scoring matrix, where we go down and we run these numbers, we do the assessment, and if it's absolutely necessary, and it's only necessary maybe, and I ask my commanders about this, about 2% of the time we ask for and get a no-knock warrant. There's other ways around that. Over the years, we've learned that, you know what, if this is a situation where we can avoid a no-knock warrant and we can draw the person out of the house, sure, we get them out of the house before we take them into custody. So there's ways around it, but I don't think you can arbitrarily say eliminate the no-knock warrant.
Well, I think what people need to understand is obviously this Brianna's loss of life had to do with a no-knock warrant, which was really not a no-knock warrant. It was a knocking right. warrant. But the thing is, it's there for the protection of law enforcement. That's what the no-knock's about. It's not to go in and shoot you. It's to protect those individuals that are doing their job. And that's what I think people tend to not want to admit to.
Right.
Frank, you have a comment there on the no-knock warrant?
No, I'm just listening to the sheriff, okay. What the sheriff has to say.
I thought maybe you had a comment there. Okay, go ahead, Sheriff.
It's going to allow the Maryland Police Training Commission to have more oversight over law enforcement. there's quite a bit of oversight now. There's very stringent requirements on hiring, restrictions on who you can hire, who has left another agency. If they've left under investigation, you can't hire that person. They want to expand a lot of that, which, I don't know, you could argue that's good or bad. I wouldn't oppose it necessarily.
Mm-hmm. And to go along with that, maybe this is more for police departments than the sheriff's departments, but prohibiting the police union from having a role in negotiating police disciplinary procedures, I think, is something else they're looking at.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that because I can tell you our contract does not include management rights. It does not include grievances, disciplinary actions, things like that. It's strictly pay and benefits, mm-hmm. which I'm okay with that, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. You get your bigger jurisdictions. My gosh, Montgomery County, PG County, their contracts include all of that, that's not necessarily good for management.
No, thank God.
Yeah.
And we see that with the fire union. Go ahead.
Some of the other things, again, I talked about barring the hiring of officers who were fired or resigned while under investigation. We already do that. I mean, we are required now to already do that. So there's so many things that we do now as an agency that we are so much further ahead than a lot of this. I have no problems with. It's the things like repealing Leobor, which I think would be a huge mistake. They had talked about eliminating the immunity, the we would call it, gosh, I lost the word there. Oh.
Sanctuary?
No, I can't think of it.
All right. We'll come up with that in a second or two.
Some of the other things.
They've kind of backed off of that a little bit, which I think was a good thing.
Right.
Talking about mandating body cameras for all police agencies in the state by 2025.
Just discussed this today with the Maryland sheriffs. That is going to go. It's going to be mandated by 2025. Again, I think this is a decision that I don't agree with, but if that decision is made, the county government's going to have to find a way to fund it.
Sure.
Going to have to find the dollars. It's a tremendous amount of money. It's going to be, and it's only ever going to increase and with very limited benefit to it. I believe that. We did a pilot program about 3 years ago to look at how valuable a body camera would be in our in-service training, use of force scenarios, things like that. We found it a very limited benefit. And I don't think the cost justifies a benefit for it.
But so, not something you'd go to Annapolis and pound on the table over.
You were going to lose, so it's no use to pound on the table. A lot of this stuff is going to happen. There's no use to fight it. And I can tell you a lot of county governments are opposed to this because of the cost of it.
Well, sure.
But the problem is, none of these county executives, these county governments that are opposed to it, will go to Annapolis and step up and say we can't afford it.
Right. Because they think they're right. disappointing their constituents by not supporting something they don't understand. Yeah. What's the cost of a body camera?
Oh, my gosh, Tim. The cost of the camera is cheap, probably just a couple $100s. It's all the other costs that go with it. The cost of data storage, the cost of hiring additional people to review, redact, prepare this for evidence.
The state's attorney is talking
state's
about
attorney.
That.
State's attorney. Just look at the state's attorney's cost.
I think he said three more people he'd have to hire to,
And this digital storage in the clouds, that's extremely expensive over the period of time. You're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in a very short period of time. I think it's a huge mistake, but it is going to pass without a doubt.
In the state of Maryland, regarding our... what are they calling this committee, or what are they calling this?
It's the Law Enforcement Reform Work Group.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about it some more.
So a couple other things I wanted to touch on, Tim.
Sure.
And the word I was thinking of and couldn't think of a while ago was qualified immunity. So that's really important because for two reasons. Number one, there's a need for that to hold law enforcement and government accountable for their actions, okay? So it shields government officials, including law enforcement, from harassment, frivolous lawsuits, things like that, unless in the performance of their duties, okay, unless their actions have clearly violated federal law or constitutional rights. So that, again, it's a wall of not necessarily, I wouldn't call it protection, but protection against frivolous suits, harassment, things like that. Now, elected officials all have it, but all of a sudden they don't want law enforcement to have it.
Doesn't seem at least fair, obviously.
No.
And it would be very dangerous for a person to go into law enforcement without that immunity.
Well, so what that says to me, if I'm a young man or woman coming into law enforcement and they take this away, that means as a law enforcement officer, I have to go out and find my own liability insurance.
Correct.
Now, who's going to do that?
They're not going to be
able to.
And who's going to be able to afford it? It actually serves no purpose.
Well, again, it's detrimental to policing, and that's what some of the forces out there at work want. Yeah. They want to defund police. When I say defend police and give police more funding, they want to eliminate policing. Look what's going on out in Minneapolis right now. They're having to hire police in from other jurisdictions.
Exactly.
The other thing I wanted to touch on was this whole thing about in a situation with an officer-involved shooting, in custody, death, or serious use of force, there's this call for an independent investigative body. Well, number one, who is that independent investigative body? Okay,
give my business card.
I can tell you, as good as it sounds,
doesn't exist.
Where the rubber meets the road, it doesn't work. And we've tried it as an agency. We've tried that. So let me just briefly touch on the event in Emmitsburg a couple of weeks ago. We had the officer-involved shooting.
Right.
Okay. So you're looking at a crime scene that stretched from Route 15 just north of Thurmont up into Emmitsburg. You're talking about, when I got up there, were probably 70 to 80 police officers on the scene. You've got a massive crime scene. You've got evidence everywhere. You have interviews to get, statements to get. Now, how in the hell do you call in an independent agency? And what resources can you bring in to handle that? As good as it sounds, it simply isn't practical and doesn't work. And who's going to do it? Is it going to be the state's attorney's office? I don't think so. Is it going to be the state prosecutor's office? I hope not. Is it going to be another police agency? Who's got those resources to send in?
Right.
to dedicate to an incident like that, which is going to take weeks of investigations. Let's go back to trust our own officers to conduct our own investigations in our own agencies, because nobody's going to lie, nobody's going to cover up, nobody's going to hide evidence or destroy evidence to cover up for anybody. To me, it doesn't make sense.
Well, that's what you would say as a sheriff, and that's what I would say as a cop. But obviously, in certain jurisdictions, for example, in Florida and in Baltimore, Maryland, we don't have to go too far. They don't have to go to Florida. That did exactly what happened.
Well, then let's go after the Baltimore Police Department. Right. And I go back to that whole street crimes unit here a couple years ago that was involved in the sale of firearms, theft, yeah, and things. There's no way, and I will challenge anybody who disputes this, there's no way that could have happened without somebody in the senior command ranks being aware of it.
Exactly.
There's no possible way.
Exactly.
So go after the Baltimore Police Department. Don't go after Frederick County, Carroll County, every other jurisdiction that's doing things the right way. Go after the problem.
And, all right, Frank, you have your
follow-up. Annapolis issues, I mean, you covered the big one, Sheriff. The people are talking about, at least, with the chokeholds and the no-knocks. Right, right. It sounds like the big one, you've got the Speaker of the House of Delegates now strongly in favor of taking away the Officer's Bill of Rights, but you've got allies with, like, the Fraternal Order of Police.
Right.
So I think that's what you'll really be in Annapolis mainly talking about. A couple other smaller things.
But the problem, Frank, is the House and the Senate are both dominated by Democrats, mostly your PG counties, Baltimore cities, Baltimore counties.
And a lot
which
of
is
party
where
line.
We can't fight this tide. There's no way. As much as I would like to think our local delegation supports law enforcement, I can tell you right now there's several that don't and won't.
A couple other things they talked about.
Politics, Tim.
Okay.
We're requiring officers to undergo periodic mental and physical health assessments.
You know what? I don't necessarily disagree with that, but let me tell the public up front. To be hired as a law enforcement officer, you do have to undergo a psychological examination and assessment. And a part of that whole process is determining whether or not a person or an individual has a bias, a propensity for racial or any type of discrimination. So that's all done on the front end. So you weed out any potential problems coming into law enforcement. Now, along the way, during the course of your career, I think depending on where you police, your policing environment, can you develop a bias? I'm sure you can. Depending on what you encounter, what you have to deal with on the street every day, I think those biases do develop. They do exist. You develop, maybe people do develop a prejudice out there. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. And if that's necessary to have a person evaluated, I'm not opposed to that. I think it's reasonable. Now, how do you measure that? So we have a process in place that we evaluate. We monitor what every officer does out there in terms of how many uses of force they have, discourtesy complaints, vehicle pursuits. We put it all together, and we evaluate whether or not an individual needs some type of help or some type of intervention. Most agencies have that. Some don't. Go after the ones that don't.
Lastly, allowing people to become police officers, even if they have a history of past marijuana use.
Well, here you go. So right now there are
some.
Are you
applying, Frank?
Yeah, there are restrictions, and I can tell you those restrictions are a maximum of 25 uses. Okay,
with an abstinence
period of 3 years. So that means you, Frank, you couldn't have smoked that joint for 3 years prior to your date of application. I'm good with that, but there are some agencies that say, you know what, they could have smoked a joint yesterday and I'll hire them tomorrow. I don't agree with that.
Well, there are some that will say that. In fact, in Frederick City, it's different than you.
Well, you can be more restrictive than the current laws,
but you can't be less restrictive.
Yeah, less restrictive. Well,
they're saying, to my understanding, in Frederick City, please correct me if I'm wrong, if you're not a regular user, and you admit that you've used marijuana within the last 60 days, you can be hired. And I'm pretty sure that's the policy.
I could be wrong on what I'm saying. I live by that. That's my measure of whether or not you're eligible.
You think that's fair? Because, Frank, because now what are you going to do when they make marijuana legal?
It's a whole different set of arguments, Tim, and we're starting to fight that now because.
Yeah, I think it's horrible, but, I mean, there are people that are they're into marijuana. And that
what am I going to do when somebody from Colorado applies here?
Yeah,
where marijuana has been legalized, sure. And they are a regular user.
Yeah. Well, you can have somebody from D.C.
I'm not going to hire them.
Well, you're right to hire somebody from D.C. cops because they can use hallucinogens. Mm-hmm. We're going to take some phone calls. I have a lot more to ask you. Frank,
can we wrap up the Maryland General Assembly discussion with – you sound kind of pessimistic, Sheriff.
I think he's being realistic.
I'm being realistic, Frank. Realistic. I've been down there for years now arguing different bills, different legislation. The reality is the Democrats control both parts, both houses.
So you got
the Senate. So I know –
you still going to fight it? Some of the ones you disagree with?
The Maryland chiefs and sheriffs are going to fight some of this. We're going to go along with a lot of it because we know we're going to lose. It's like you have to pick your battles.
Exactly.
Yes. But what my argument is now, listen, we've given an inch every year. There's no more inches left to give.
Right.
So I say you fight it all because you're going to lose anyway. But there's a good strategy going. You got the Maryland chiefs, Maryland sheriffs.
FOP.
FOP, a lot of organizations. But here's the problem I think we're at this year. So all of these hearings are not going to be in person. They're going to be virtual. The votes will be in person. The hearings are virtual. So if you don't have a crowd in front of you, where's the pressure?
Exactly. There's none.
Do you think Governor Hogan's going to be an ally?
I have no faith in Governor Hogan as far as backing law enforcement. I'm disappointed that he hasn't stood up so far and said that, listen, there is no need for this overhaul, this reform. Law enforcement has been there for him through two elections, chief, sheriffs, law enforcement in general. I wish he would have stood up before now and said, when all this started, stood up to back law enforcement.
And he did not.
He did not.
So I can put you down. You're not going to vote for him for president?
Probably not.
All right.
I'll vote for Ronald Reagan.
Sheriff, I noticed that there's a little tiff between you and some of the council members. I think it's tiff is a nice word. It's not dramatic. It's not. What in the world are you being cross-examined for from a council member who has zero facts and information about Frederick County Sheriff's Department, and you have this institutionalized systemic racism? I'm referring to our council member at large, Kai Hagan. Now, I heard there was a little tiff, Sheriff. Is there any rumors of that?
Tiff is being kind, Tim.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I'll watch it.
So let me tell you how this all came about.
Please.
So months ago, after this whole series of protests, I was approached by County Council President Keegan Ayer.
Yes.
If I would be willing to come on to a council meeting and present policing, basically how we police in Frederick County.
Fair enough.
At the time, nobody wanted to hear anything with all those protests going on.
I understand.
Also, during that time, we were going through our accreditation process, which is a pretty time-consuming, burdensome process for the agency. So I didn't have time to get everything together and get the other guys lined up to, this sure. is what wants you to present this, you know, Lieutenant Null, you do this, Lieutenant right. Warner, you do that. So I put it off. Then all these, you know, as the summer goes by, we've got a lot of things going on. So then we decided on a date. And I said, this is going to be about policing, how we police in Frederick
yes.
County,
yes.
talking about our policies, our trainings, and then about being accredited and what accreditation means. And I thought we put together a pretty good presentation. Maybe too long, okay? If there's anything, maybe too much detail
okay.
for the council and the public. Well, right away, first of all, I don't like the fact it was virtual.
Yes.
Again, the taxpayers are cheated by virtual meetings.
I agree.
I would rather do an in-person meeting and have people be there and ask questions in person.
Even 6 feet away.
Whatever, 12, 24, go to Harry Grove Stadium.
Exactly.
I don't care.
But let's meet in person. Let's
yeah,
go
right,
eye to eye.
Right,
I want
right.
to see you. I want to hear so, what you have to say.
Kai Hagan had this in his mind that this was about community policing, which it absolutely was not. But in his mind...
Do you know what community policing is?
Well, apparently, according to him, I don't, because I don't fit the meeting through academia.
Oh.
Everything, he looks at everything through that lens of academia. So he has a certain vision, certain view of what it should be and how we should police. That wasn't the purpose of me being there.
No.
Okay. So,
no.
So all of a sudden,
a little blindsided,
as he always does, he wants to pull in and go down. He wants to pull everything and rope everything into this racism stuff about
okay.
racism does exist. Well, you know what, Kai Hagan, who's a are you calling me a racist or which of my deputies are you calling a racist?
Right.
But that's how the whole thing was all framed around that. And then you have Councilperson Fitzwater, Councilman Fitzwater, Again, she's declared herself a racist.
About racist, yes.
During the hearing, previous hearing.
Exactly.
So, you know, I frankly, I get a little bit pissed and assaulted. I'm sitting there like I'm being questioned in front of a Senate subcommittee or something.
Right. And you've been there, done that.
Been there, done that. And I get more courtesy in Washington than I get in this county council.
Well, Frank, I don't know what Frank hears. I'm out in the public. Of course, I'm only one person.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody loves me, so it doesn't matter. And when I hear something negative, I bring it to the sheriff. Sheriff, they said they haven't seen enough cars over on Bowers Road for the last 10 years. You know, anything. If I take the sheriff. And what does the sheriff do? And I'm not his campaign manager. I didn't vote for him because I'm not a U.S. citizen. Immediately, he takes it to heart and does something about it. So when I hear people say, the sheriff's a racist, and you hear the sheriff.
Every day.
I've known you all your life. Well, not yet. But that hurts. That hurts because we didn't grow up as racist. We didn't even know what racists were. And now, systemic racism, we keep trying to implant in people's minds that cops particularly, and I say cops, I mean deputies, I mean state troopers, are systemically, meaning they already have it in them, racist. Show me the proof. Frank?
Councilwoman Fitzwater would say 33% of use of force of incidents were with the black population of Frederick County.
Yeah, how's that? How come
only 10% of the population is black?
Okay.
Yeah, that's got to stop you.
And she's asking me why, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, I can't tell you why that individual chose to resist either an arrest or resist authority or do something to cause that use of force. Don't ask me why he or she did that. Ask them why they did it.
Oh, that would make too much sense.
It would make too much sense. So let's go back to that. So let's look at the fact that last year, 2019, just about 136,000 contacts with the public in Frederick County.
Okay? 136,000.
136,000 contacts in some way, shape, or form, and there were 74 uses of force. And I've done the math. It's like 0.00051%. I think that's phenomenal. Now, can I explain why any particular situation resulted in that use of force? I can't explain that because what we do is in response to or in reaction to what that person has done to resist.
Obviously.
Well, so don't ask me that. It's stupid to ask me that.
Well, it is because I think the question was laid in front of you like that, Sheriff, for this particular reason. The Sheriff's Department of Frederick County is out after black people.
People of color, to be fair.
I don't know. I'm not politically correct. Whatever. But after minorities. That's your trouble. You're out after minorities. Because, look, the majority, one-third of your use of force is against a minority population. Why does it have to be that the police forces or the deputies or the law enforcement is always the guilty party? Why doesn't... When a person's pulled over, I tell you, when I get pulled over, and I've been pulled over enough, yes, sir, no, sir. Oh, you're white. I don't care if I was green. If I'm in D.C., I get pulled over by a black policeman, a black police officer, whatever you call him. Yes, sir, no, sir. Why is it all of a sudden that the cop is wrong and because I'm exercising my right? Have you seen any of the videos locally of people being pulled over and how courteous? I mean, it's sickening courtesy. You've gone to the point now. I could not police in these days because I wasn't as nice as you all are. But I guess you have so many phones looking at you and everything. I think it would be entirely, not impossible, but very likely that if I do something wrong as a cop, somebody's going to be videotaping it. And and the thing is, and one more thing before we take a break, we're coming back. But one more thing, when I went to work as a cop back in the 1800s, every day I said, dear God, take me home safe tonight. And I didn't say, oh, let's see who I can go shoot today, who I can beat up. Maybe I can get hurt. That's what you got people thinking in their minds. Cops go to work, put that uniform on, put that badge on, put that regalia on. See who we can go beat up. See who we can go, destroy his lives. That's all wrong because you're living from a storybook fairy tale that does not exist. And the sooner the public becomes educated on this, the better off the public will be. I saw you stand in front of a crowd, Sheriff, in front of the law mall. You were called every kind of name. Your family was called every kind of name. I mean, even to the down part is you have a racist haircut based upon nothing but anger, and avowed racism.
Driven by the likes of Kai Hagan and Jessica Fitzwater, who don't like me being sheriff. It all spins up around the 287G program, which has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Coming right back to you, top of the hour, Frank Tim and the Sheriff of Frederick County. Make your calls now. We have homes for people like you. Good afternoon, Frank. Good afternoon, everyone. It is the best day of your life. Thank you for joining us. Free Talk Radio. Phone number is 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. You can talk with the sheriff of Frederick County. Ask him anything you want to. Sheriff, we thank you again for taking time out of your day to be with us. We really appreciate it. You've answered a lot of questions. Frank, did you get pretty much your questions answered?
When it comes to what's coming up in the Maryland General Assembly, but there's lots of other stuff going on.
Well, I had a question.
Throw me the hard fastball, Frank. Come on,
high. You want a hard one?
Yeah, throw it.
You know what I'll do is, well, what I want to ask you about, because it's top of mind, everybody, is responding to COVID-19 complaints.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going? Are you getting many? How are you dealing with them?
Well, first of all, we really haven't gotten many. Even going back to March, April when it started, we haven't gotten many. What we have gotten, we've responded to and through informing people what the restrictions are and compliance, we've done very well. I will tell you, we've written two citations to organizations who had blatantly violated some of the crowd laws, you know, the number of persons.
The governor's executive order.
Right, correct. Yeah. But they were two citations. Again, everything else we've done it through informing the public and also asking for compliance, and it's worked. And I can tell you this. Listen, I'm out there probably more than anybody next to Tim.
Oh, yeah,
in the public, every day, every evening, somewhere.
Right.
And I can tell you, by and large, the vast, vast majority of people are in compliance.
Yes. Well said.
Some don't like it.
Right.
But they are in compliance.
And if some aren't, you can a lot of times just mediate, just, you know, have a talk with them, and it doesn't go beyond that.
It's done, correct, yeah. But things are going very well, yeah.
Well, it's some of the questions I had to ask, we're going to take you a little bit beyond that. 301-694-9363. Go beyond that in this respect. If President Biden or President-elect or whatever, Biden becomes president,
mm-hmm.
and they open the borders,
mm.
and that means there's going to be obviously an influx of people undocumented, illegals, any plans to change your 287G? Or suppose they can even take that away.
They can, and that's what I'm afraid of, Tim. I'm fearful in reality that this administration, should Biden end up being president, which it looks like,
mm-hmm.
I'm very fearful that maybe not him, but the people he places in cabinet level positions will push him to eliminate ICE, take the 287 program out of law, off the books, end that program, and he told you what's coming. We listen. People who voted him, they told us what to expect.
Sure.
The borders will be wide open. They're going to raise your taxes. They're going to shut the economy down. And, again, what's coming through that border over the next decade or so from Central America, Mexico, South America, it's going to overwhelm this country. So, but, again, they make that decision. Whether or not 287G exists, which I'm doubtful whether it'll survive, whether or not they close the borders, whether they probably will eliminate ICE altogether. There's been a huge push for that.
Really?
Well, that's been talk of it.
Yeah, but I thought it was ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
That's like getting rid of the state police.
I think it's completely ridiculous, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, one thing is that, Sheriff, one thing is if they take ICE away and they take 287G away, you'll never have to spend
I'm never a racist anymore.
Right? No, and you never have to spend any money on your campaign, because that's the only reason that anybody would ever vote against you.
Pretty
I'm
much,
told.
Tim, if you look at it over what, four terms?
Four
now.
Terms, yeah. Longest serving sheriff in Frederick County.
And proud to be so.
Well, God bless you. We'll take some phone calls, but first, I got to do that, Let me ask you again. That was the national stuff, Chuck, sheriff, as you know. Future, Frederick County is growing. How about our drug situations? That's all gone away now with COVID.
Well, you would think since the last election, when everybody running from office was focused on the heroin opioid problem,
it's gone away.
It's forgotten, right?
It's over.
I can tell you, overdoses of the use of heroin is as bad, if not worse, than always. The overdoses are continuing. The count is pretty much consistent with last year in both non-fatal and fatal overdoses. So that problem hasn't gone away. And I do want to announce that our detox facility on top of the work release center opens very soon, I'm sure by the first of the year.
And that's detox for anything, or is that just alcohol?
Well, it's going to be primarily for, it was intended to be primarily for opiates,
okay,
opioids,
okay.
Heroin, hard drugs. It could include alcohol.
Because yeah. I'm thinking at the hospital, when the police have no place to take someone,
right.
they take them to the hospital,
right.
hospital
and dump them.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, you know, it could be used for alcohol. Again, this is managed by a contract organization.
Right.
I think Mid-Maryland Addiction or something.
Well, you brought this up. This was your idea, I remember. And the county exec jumped on it and said this is a good idea and helped push it along. Is that how it worked?
Well, eventually she grabbed onto the idea. I'm not sure she liked it initially, nor did the health department, because they didn't like the fact it was at on a jail campus.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
But
people that are dying really don't care whether.
They don't care.
No, they
don't. If I'm the parent of an addict, I don't care if it's locked down.
Yeah, exactly. Just so, help my relative.
You know what? I'm going to stand up and say, yes, it was my idea. It was to better utilize a facility that was underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
It's a need we had in Frederick County. It's going to come to fruition, and I think it's going to save lives.
And then I kind of teased you about, that means something else, the detention center, Frederick County Adult mm-hmm. Detention Center. How are you doing with the COVID patients?
We're doing outstanding, Tim. We've not had one single case of COVID in that jail. Now, we have had one staff member who came down with it prior to coming back to work for being away somewhere.
Right.
He never got into the jail side of everything down there. But other than that, have not had one inmate come down with COVID.
And I
credit the staff,
yes,
the administrators, the correctional officers down there for everything they've done in safe practices, in sanitation, in face coverings by everyone, every single day, everywhere in that jail, by distancing to the extent you can. You can't distance too far in a jail,
yeah,
right?
Don't want them
but
too
no,
far
I give
away.
Complete credit to the staff, the administrators, the warden, assistant mm-hmm. warden, for everything they've done and put in place, that there's no COVID within our detention center.
And see, I didn't give you that prep that I was going to ask you that question because I didn't know the answer. And so Frank can verify that I didn't do that. I just brought that out cold to you. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that. I was hoping it would be that. But that doesn't seem possible because at one point the county council had and maybe even the exec's office kind of had, you know, they were worried about you, about all the COVID that you're going to have.
Well, again, it comes down to no one on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, you know, the county council, maybe even the county exec, I don't know. I don't think they believed for the longest time that I was telling the truth. I wouldn't lie about that because it's a violation of law. The fact that the Dr. Brookmeyer has been pushing for testing of everybody down there, which isn't practical to me. Listen, this is what we do. For any new detainee, anybody new that comes into that jail as an inmate, they are isolated, segregated for 14 straight days.
Okay.
They are tested for symptoms every day, twice a day. If you're a current inmate in that jail, after you get through that process, when you're in general population, every inmate is tested, is assessed for symptoms, and fevers taken every week.
Mm-hmm.
Every detention center staff member that comes and goes in that jail screened for symptoms and fever every day, both coming to work and going out of work. We don't take anybody into central booking to see the commissioner. All the initial appearances are done by phone from the Sally Port or even out in a police car. So I got to tell you, I give all the credit in the world to the staff at that jail for keeping COVID out of there.
Outstanding. That's a statistic that isn't possible even these times.
Well, again, you have some in county government who refuse to believe that. I can't convince them. I can only show you the proof.
What about county government? That's shut down, isn't it? I mean, in this respect, and I'm not picking on county government, but I'm going to make some things. If you want to talk to somebody, you're going to call and leave a message. Because I have not had the success of just calling county government and going directly to the person I'm trying to reach. So I've had to go and leave a message, which is, you know, how long is that going on for?
I have no idea. I don't make that decision. I'm told the last I heard was probably March into April. I don't know. I can only tell you what the rumor mill says.
What are you doing with your school resource officers?
Well, actually, what's happening right now is those officers are in schools part of the day because there are students starting to come back. The other part of their workday, they're out in the community around the school. There are additional patrols in the neighborhoods and things like that. So they're staying busy. They're on the street, and they're doing their jobs.
Are you hearing, Sheriff, that in Frederick County there's there's any move to make any changes there, because in Montgomery County, there's a push to remove police officers from public high schools.
Yeah, the conversations come up with the Board of Education. You've got a couple on there who, again, I think it's political. I think it's ill-advised, but they're having conversations about taking SROs out of schools, which under the current law, they can't. The law mandates they be there.
Oh, good. That's state law?
State law, yeah. Safe to Learn Act of 2016.
Okay.
So I got to tell you, the public would not stand for taking deputies out of schools. We've got a great resource officer program. I've got good men, great men and women in there, do a good job because they want to be there. They're dedicated to that program. But I can tell you, the public, by and large, would not stand by and allow that to happen.
Texter wants to know, at one point, I think Senator Young was saying something that we had to. Maybe it wasn't him, but that's what the Texter thinks. To empty the jails out, in other words.
There was a push. I don't think it was a senator. I'm not sure if he was involved in that. But I can tell you, the public defender's office has been waging war since back in April, May, to have all the inmates taken out of jails. And I've said, no, it's not necessary. Now, that's not my call, okay?
Right.
The judges have to order them released. But I did put a call. I've talked to some of the judges and tried to urge them not to go down this road, not to release inmates, because there is no COVID in the jail.
Sounds good. Frank?
Unless it becomes a state issue, because I think the governor's weighing in on that.
Well, I think
it's the courts. The courts. Yeah, the court judge has there. To make that decision whether or not a person
that'd
stays in jail.
Yeah, that'd be a different part of the government, I would think.
Yeah.
301-694.
Yeah, let's get some callers on there.
Yeah, let's get some callers in there. 301-694-9363. Against the question to the sheriff that you always were afraid to ask because he doesn't know who you are, see?
Frank, I got another one for you, Sheriff.
I thought so.
Would you be willing to comment on Frederick City's search for a police chief? It looks like it's getting real close.
Well, I don't know much about the search. I'm sad they went outside. I think there are very capable people in that department. Pat Grossman did a real good job during the time he served as acting or interim. I think the way he led that agency through the summer of protests and all those problems, I think he earned the opportunity. I don't think it's good to go outside. I think they got several people in there who would have been good as a chief. Sure. I can't comment other than that because I don't know.
And how does that? I can't answer your question. You don't know, obviously. I was just wondering how that process worked. I've been following it on the. This
is a pretty secretive process.
Yeah, and I know it's supposed to be transparent, which I'm going to ask you another question about transparency when we come back. But why is the big secrecy here? I don't understand. Why?
I have no idea. I have no idea about how the committee was chosen, what they're looking for in terms of a chief. I've heard rumor. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. I have no idea. Because
why would
it's so
they just
secretive.
Give the city, the county, to the sheriff that you take?
Never happened.
Well, why not? I mean, they're
political, Tim.
Well, I know it's political, and I know it's not going to happen. But that would make all the sense in the world. You wouldn't have to hire a police chief. You just, deputize all the city police officers, become deputy sheriffs, and
ain't going to happen.
Oh, it sounded good though. I mean, I thought about that.
I'd ask for a pay raise.
Oh, there you're making too much money already.
If that happened, you would definitely deserve one.
Yeah, but it's amazing.
Frank, I don't deserve it now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
How is that a high-paying job, the city police chief? I don't know.
It makes a hell of a lot more than I make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a smaller department, obviously.
Smaller department, yeah.
How many people under your command?
I've got authorized strength, 190 deputy sheriffs. I've got 132 correctional officers and about 100 other employees, so roughly 470, 480.
How about your – now, that's a question. Are you having trouble getting officers?
Yeah, you know we are. We're getting a – we're seeing an overall reduction in people applying. We are getting some lateral hires. Right now, people are really hesitant to look into police work.
I can't understand why. Because politicians are looking into police work, and they have no idea what they're talking about.
So I can recall a time of day when we would have maybe two or three vacancies, and we'd have 400 applicants.
Hey, I remember those days.
Now we have 12, 15 vacancies. We got 40 applicants.
Yeah. And you're not going to lower your standards?
Not at all. No.
If you dare. No, Sheriff. Washington County this week unanimously through their Board of County Commissioners. You hear that, Frederick County? County Commissioners. We used to have that here. Yeah. Voted to make Washington County a sanctuary.
They call it a Second Amendment sanctuary.
Okay, calm down. All right. Sheriff.
The sheriff there, Sheriff Molendore, signed on to that, saying that he views the move as symbolic, but, quote, we would certainly testify against any bill that would try to take away the Second Amendment.
Thank you for your calls. 301-694-936. What do you think about that, Sheriff?
I would absolutely support it. I would buy into it. I would, matter of fact, I'd never thought of it, but maybe I could propose that.
I'll see why you couldn't.
I would absolutely support that. 100%.
Well, I think as people, it's sad that we would even have to think about doing something like this because we have the Second Amendment. We do have the ability to, right, not ability, we have the right to own guns and possess ammunition and such. But, and I think that's...
And that's another right that, I'm concerned about with this new administration.
Yep.
I am very concerned about it.
And I think what they're going to try to do, if I wanted to be a downer on this, I would think that... You tax the ammunition.
Absolutely.
Tax it to the point where it becomes not affordable.
We are going to regret the results of this election. I truly believe that wholeheartedly.
Let's see what Rob has to say. Rob, you're up next. What say you?
How are you guys?
We're doing well, thank you. Question for the sheriff?
Yes, I do. Sheriff, I really don't understand why you put yourself through the misery of going before Kai Hagan, who is a student of everything, an expert at nothing, and try to defend yourself. I mean, you guys do a fantastic job. And you allow him a forum by simply showing up. You've answered all his questions. You give him straight-up facts. And he just pesters you like a chihuahua. I really think you need to reconsider and speak to him only when you're actually required to.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you why I did that. First of all, I pay little attention to him. He's an academic. He believes he is, and that's fine. He can attack me whichever way he wants to attack me. I did that for the informational purposes to put that out to the public. I believed it was time the public knows some of those things about how we police in Frederick County. I do not like the virtual meetings. I hate them. I don't like the fact that I can't control anything in the meeting because the county council president controls the mic, who's muted, who's not muted. I like an in-person, face-to-face, back-and-forth argument. And unfortunately, I can't get that at a virtual meeting. So I do this because I believe the county residents should know how we police. We do have what I think is a tremendous agency. Even, you know, if I weren't there as sheriff, I would still say that because of the men and women that work there and how we police. And so it's not about Kai Hagan. It's not about Jessica Fitzwater. I could care less what they think of me or the agency because, again, I think it's how we perform on the street, and I think the men and women do a good job.
Well, the optics, Sheriff, is in Kai Hagan's and Jessica Fitzwater's eyes, it's all about them.
Right.
And they're using you to leverage publicity.
Well, they're pandering to their voting bloc.
Exactly. And I just I just look at it as I look at it as being completely disrespectful. First of all, it's disrespectful not just to Sheriff Jenkins. It's disrespectful to the entire law enforcement. I mean, the men and women in the sheriff department. I mean, they're the true first responders. I mean, they're the ones that have to show up on every single event going out here, pandemic, not pandemic. They're blamed. They have to make split second decisions. Kai Hagan sits up there and dictates to you how the world should be from his perspective.
Yeah. Well, you know,
allow him to do that.
Yeah. You know, the problem is I can't stop him from doing that. Like I said, to me,
I know you can't, sir, but it's just very upsetting to watch.
And Rob, I'll tell you why I do it, because you know how I feel. I love this county. This county is my family, my friends, my life is here. I care about what I do and what we do as an agency, and that'll never end.
Not only that, Sheriff, but what about just the how it all looks, the optics of it all? Because if you refused and locked yourself there in the sheriff's office, isn't it better to go and confront and you can state your point? You can come back here on the radio, have a comeback.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, listen, like I said, I don't mind debating. I don't mind arguing. Remember, my favorite movie is Gladiator, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but at the end of the day, the only way I have to do that now are these virtual meetings, just like the audit meeting a couple of months ago. I'll go out in the middle of Harry Grove Stadium and make my arguments. I don't care about that. I just don't like the virtual side of it because I can't argue face to face. I can't refute or debate face to face, which I don't like.
Well, hopefully, it won't be too long into 2021 when you're asked
Would you ask the sheriff?
Thanks, Rob.
Baez back. Any luck with liquor stores in Frederick County serving underage people lately? Anything going on with that?
You know what? We are investigating one complaint, and I don't do arbitrary undercover buys. I don't believe in that, but we are investigating currently, I think, one complaint, and we will be proactive. If we get a complaint, we'll act on it. I'll leave it at that.
I think it's a fair question. I think it's a good answer. 301-694. I had my HQL license and the current handgun owner. I have applied for another purchase. It's been 63 days since I applied. Does the sheriff have any idea what's taking the state police so long to reply?
I have no clue and can't answer it. I would have no idea why.
There should be no reason for it.
No.
No. I mean, well, everybody's working for home.
As a matter of fact, I know they've added personnel to their gun unit, so
sure.
I don't know why they would take that long.
Well, talking about, a little bit about the law, someone once told me that, the lack of transparency the county exec has proposed to our delegation regarding the salaries of people in Frederick County government that you taxpayers pay for, you know, they're our employees, not wanting to publish those salaries because of identity theft. Truth to that? Any situation with that?
The truth is, the fact is, there's no way that disclosing someone's salary can lead to identity theft. There's no way. I've talked to people about that. That's just false.
Okay, appreciate that.
Yep.
And let's see here. Sanctuary cities and open borders. Let the people vote for that one. Who vote yes, let them pay through their taxes. No, we're all going to pay, unfortunately.
We're all going to suffer. We are all, as a nation, as a country, as an America that we knew, we're going to pay for that.
Let's go to Sue from Upper Montgomery County. What say you, Sue?
Hi, good afternoon, Sheriff Jenkins.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. Today's a 16th day anniversary of Donald Trump sweeping the election, and I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Larry the Rhino is going to be leaving office in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any aspirations of a higher office than sheriff? Because everyone I'm talking to, down here in Howard County, Montgomery County, they would love to see Governor Jenkins. And I'm just curious if the thought's ever gone by your mind.
Sheriff, that's the answer up to you.
That's a fastball there. That's a hard. That's
see,
a high
they asked me to run
pitch,
for president, but they're asking you to run for governor.
You know, Sue, I don't think. Listen, have people urged me, asked me, suggested? Yes. Have they urged me, asked me to run for other county positions, county executive? Yes. Have I seriously considered it? The realities of running for something like that, I'm not sure it's even possible. I don't know what to say to that. I'll tell you this. I will tell you this, and people don't understand this. There is no office higher than a sheriff. It doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, truly. If you look at the role of the sheriff constitutionally,
right?
And I don't throw this out, and I don't need to, but other elected officials don't understand the executive authority or the constitutional authority of a sheriff. So
right, the autonomy that.
So when they say higher office to me, I'm in the highest office. I love what I do, but yeah, I don't know what's in the future. Who knows?
Can I ask you a follow up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, a lot of sheriffs have come out since different states have put this potentially new lockdown order, telling people they can't have Thanksgiving with their families, and a lot of the sheriffs have said, I am not going to enforce that. If Larry Hogan says statewide that you can't have more than 10 people or 5 people at your house for Thanksgiving, you're not going to enforce that, are you?
No, I'm not. I have no intention, and I'm not going door to door to see how big a turkey you bought and how many people it'll feed.
Well, I thank you for that. I'll sleep better tonight because go ahead, Frank.
But if a neighbor calls up your office and complains and wants somebody to check it out, you're going to have to, aren't you?
I'm not going to have to, no. Listen, that's the whole problem, Frank, is that this current, through the governor's orders, the county executive orders, have encouraged people to rat everybody out. People should really, truly mind their own business in their homes, honestly.
Yeah,
who am I to tell you that you can't have 12, 14, 15, what, these arbitrary numbers of 10. Why not 9? Why not 7? Why not 14?
Well said. And I think,
I'm just, you,
you I
know
mean,
what?
If you this got a complaint,
such, this
gotta...
is such an overreach and violation of people's constitutional rights, and I think it's going to bear out in court challenges. Well, I really do. I don't know who it'll be.
But if you have a call, Sheriff, come into the Sheriff's office.
You know, let the health department do it. They're deputized now to do it. Let them do it. I'm not putting my men and women in a situation to risk their lives over how many people are eating a turkey dinner.
At a home.
In a home.
But if we were having like a filled a gymnasium or something.
Then we've got a problem. We've got a problem. And again, we will go in. If it's a blatant violation, we've taken actions before. If it's something that we can inform people, educate people, then we'll go that route. With
understandable.
Yeah.
Understand. Sue, did you get them all answered?
Yeah, I think so. I'd just like to say one more thing. Sheriff, I am so happy that I know you and that I call you my friend. I know we've sat down in Annapolis and they've, you know, screwed around with these sanctuary bills and stuff like that and made us wait until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I don't know if a lot of people know that, you know, that you do that, that you're down there. And really, Sheriff, I've never met a lawman that takes his oath as seriously as you do. And everything you do up there in Frederick County with the 287G program, you are protecting everybody in the state. You are protecting the nation's capital, and you are protecting our president when he's up there at Camp David. And God bless you, and have a happy, happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, Sue. And what do you think I should run for?
Well, I'd like to see Governor Jenkins. I mean, if you want to know the truth, I'd like to see you doing it. But I know, you know, how you feel, and I also see what's happening in Frederick County. I'm very concerned about the liberal electorate up there, about that crazy nut job of a county executive you have. You have an openly declared racist on the county council. I'm very concerned that, you know, that stuff is going to happen to you up there, that these liberals are going to take over. And I just think it would be unbelievable to have either have you in Congress or have you in the governor's mansion. I really do think I know you'd put the state police under 287G, and I know that you would, that you love the state. I know you love the people, genuinely love the people that live here. And I just think you're an all around great guy. And I just like to see you more recognized, or maybe part of the next administration, because Donald Trump is going to be sworn in. Everybody knows how I feel about that. You know, maybe running Department of Homeland Security. A lawman that really takes his oath as seriously as you do is really a special, special find. And I'm so honored to be your friend, and I support you whatever you're going to do. I just think you're one of the good guys.
Well, there's one. Thank you, Sue, for saying that. But there's one thing I said for certainty when it was declared. Or again, I hope you're right. I hope that we can turn this presidential election around. I'm not sure it'll happen. But one thing I could have said with certainty when they announced Biden the winner: never ever will I get an invite to walk into that West Wing again.
Well said. A positive phone call at 301-694-9363. His last call really upset the sheriff. Sue was really down on him and all of his attributes and all that. Let's go to Edward. Edward, what say you?
Good evening, men.
Thank you.
Good evening.
I just had a comment. So the lady that called before, Chuck Jenkins, asked her what he should run for.
Yes, sir.
And my opinion is he should run for county executive.
Would you vote for him?
Absolutely.
Would you send money to his campaign? Edward, I'll behave. Go ahead, sir.
So a whole lot of other people. I met Chuck through the AmVest Post 2 in Frederick.
Yes, sir.
No, I mean, he would get all the AmVest votes. I mean, there's just a ton of people that would vote for him. And then he could straighten out Frederick County. So,
like he did the law and order.
Good evening, men.
Edward, thank you.
I like that word, men. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you can say that, man. You know, yeah. Of course, if you're around. But anyhow, 301-694-9363. Opportunity to sound off to be heard. Sheriff, before I take my next phone call, anything that I'm missing? Because you've given us time, and I appreciate you taking that.
Tim, there's so much going on.
Yes,
but
sir?
Overall, let me say this. With everything going on, Frederick County is still a great place to live, police in. People go about their lives. Listen, this whole COVID thing, people are becoming very impatient. It's becoming a volatile issue. But regardless, it's still a great place to live, and it's just I can't say any more than that.
Well said. Let's go back to the phones. Bill, you're up next.
Tim.
Present.
The man's title is High Sheriff, okay?
Well, I don't think he drinks or anything.
I've won a bet a long time ago he's the High Sheriff. Anyway, I want to say this. No matter what position that the Sheriff, High Sheriff, decides to run for next time, he will have the support of a lot of people in Frederick because of the way he is, who he is, and what he's done. And Chuck, I want to thank you for being a friend of mine and being a friend of everybody in Frederick County. I thank you for what you've done for Frederick County. And I'm sorry, as a longtime citizen and taxpayer, that you get the treatment you get in front of the county council.
Well, you thank you, Bill. Nice which bill is this?
This Bill Ashton, sir.
I know who
it is. I thought you knew it. Okay.
It's the watchdog, Frank. What's your name?
Yeah, thanks, Chuck? Bill. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sheriff. Bye.
Well, there's another one. There you got two votes coming up.
Two votes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Depending what you're serving at these get-togethers, I'll let you know how I feel. But, Sheriff, in all honesty, I appreciate everything you've done. There's always going to be negatives. There's always going to be people that, you know, that don't approve what you're doing. But I can tell you, as a citizen of the county, I feel very confident and impressed by your leadership.
Well, thanks. I go back to what I said.
It's your men and women.
And listen, what I said at the council meeting, I meant that this county is very well policed by not only the sheriff's office, but the troopers that work here, the local agencies, Frederick Police Department, Thurmont, Brunswick, all the municipal police departments.
Yes.
This county is very well policed, regardless of what Kai Hagan thinks or not. I really could care less.
Well, I appreciate all that. Three votes. Jeff Holsinger's in also. He got another vote.
Okay, so thanks, Jeff. Yeah.
All right, Frank, anything else before we close up here today?
No, I've learned that you don't like the Zoom meetings, but if you're going to fight some of these issues in Annapolis, I don't know, you might have to get on Zoom.
Well, you know, Frank, I'm probably not going to participate a lot because we have people representing the Maryland sheriffs, Maryland chiefs who really have their
lobbyists
act together. Now, we as a group decide how the strategies are going to go, but it won't be a whole lot of us speaking. It'll be the designees.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to.
I just really was
changing the gun laws. I'm watching those.
Yeah, well, you know, I might propose that Sanctuary County for guns.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Who's going to turn it down? Oh, that's right. We have a county council. Oh, I forgot.